For the first time since the pandemic began, London metals traders are back on the trading floor. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In just about an hour, this burst of sound will return to the London Metal Exchange.
45 at 50, still off top.
It's the practice of open outcry trading, which you'll surely know from Hollywood films that feature traders shouting and hand signaling to each other in order to execute trades. The LME's pit is called The Ring, and it's the last metals trading hub of its kind in Europe. When the pandemic took hold of London in March 2020, though, the trading floor fell quiet. And since then, the exchange has relied on a successful switch to all electronic trading. So why bother bringing the traders back? LME boss Matthew Chamberlain says the answer is simple. Demand.
For many years, it's been a minority part of our business, but it's so important because it's where we calculate the prices. And they're the prices that if you're selling copper or buying aluminium out in the physical market, they're the prices that you embed in your contracts that are used really all over the world. So back in January of this year, we went out to the market and we said, actually, we think that fully electronic trading has gone really well. We actually surprised ourselves with how well it went. And so we put out this discussion paper where we said, well, maybe we could just stay fully electronic. Now, that really polarized opinion in the market, but there were enough people who said, no, we really want to come back, that we did eventually make the decision to bring some of our pricing back to the ring.
Well, as Mr. Chamberlain alluded there, before the pandemic, trading in the ring accounted for just 10% of the LME's volume. Now there are conditions to the pit staying open.
We need to make sure we have a critical mass of traders so that the pricing is representative. When we left the ring, 9 firms participated in that open outcry trading, and we said that we need at least 6 to come back. We believe there are going to be 8 back this morning, so I think we've met that criterion. And we also have a volume criterion, that there needs to be a certain amount of volume happening there just to make sure that the pricing is representative. All the indications are that's going to happen.
So perhaps an obvious big question then, with all that shouting and close contact returning to the pit, how does the spread of COVID-19 factor into the LME's risk calculation?
You can't go to these traders and say, you know, you've got to keep your voices down, or you have to wear face masks, or we're going to put you in a Perspex box to stop the virus transmitting, because it would really just fly against the way that they're used to operating. So it is always going to be a higher risk environment.
That's Matthew Chamberlain, boss of the London Metal Exchange there. Well, U.S. financial markets today are closed for the Labor Day holiday. Meanwhile, here in Europe, the Stoxx 600 index is hovering near record levels. That's as benchmarks across London, Paris, and Frankfurt are up in the 0.5% range. Elsewhere, stocks across Asia ended their session solidly higher today. Benchmarks in Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Tokyo were all up more than 1%. The East African nation of Ethiopia has, for the last decade, been ranked among the continent's fastest-growing economies. But the nation's prospects are now tied up with fighting in the northern region of Tigray and elsewhere. And the country is facing an acute shortage of foreign currency, high cost of living, and soaring debt. The BBC's Charles Gitonga explains, though, that many there are optimistic their economy will weather the storm.
A light rail running through the city. High-rise office blocks redefining the skyline. This is modern-day Addis Ababa, Ethiopia's capital. But overall growth is set to slow from 6 to just 2% in 2021, the lowest level in almost 2 decades. Basic goods cost a quarter more than they did a year ago, and the cost of living is skyrocketing, as I've heard from residents living here.
There is inflation, and the cost of living is increasing. It doesn't affect the farmers. Rather, the middle-class people who depend on monthly salaries are affected by it.
Starting from the house rent, beriberi, which is chili pepper, oil and teff, prices are expensive.
To try and address this, new government-led economic reforms are focused on privatizing state-owned enterprises, such as the country's telecommunications monopoly, Ethio Telecom, as well as setting up industrial parks. In the expansive Debrebehan district, 70 miles northeast of Addis Ababa, a new industrial zone is in the works. Industrialist Bejai Naika is one of the local investors building a factory here.
Land. The land is very cheap and we can afford it. If we work here in the industrial zone, we will have something like 13 years of tax exemption.
While there is optimism, the ongoing war in the Tigray region, north of the country, has cost billions of dollars and has led the U.S. to withhold some of their economic and security assistance. The COVID-19 pandemic has also put huge pressure on the economy, and foreign currency shortages have made it even more expensive for businesses to fund imports. Zemedina Negatu, American-based Ethiopian investor, remains positive that the economy will adapt.
Over the long term, not even 10 years, the next 3 to 5 years, I expect Ethiopia will sustain very high GDP growth, agriculture, manufacturing, the resource space, tourism eventually. I mean, all these are there to be tapped into.
Ethiopia has gone through rapid economic transformation in recent years. But while there have been many gains, experts say the years of double-digit growth are over.
That's the BBC's Charles Gitanga reporting from Addis Ababa there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.